All right, partygoers, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the galaxy's most average pop culture podcast, brought to you by Pro Cover Exteriors for all of your roofing, siding, and window needs. Be sure to hit them up on their website for a free estimate. You can reach them at procoverexteriors.com, and that's procoverexteriors.com, all one word. And of course, our good friends over at Yes Weekly for all your local news and notes across the triad. And let's not forget one of our favorite sponsors out there, Sailfish Comics, three locations in the Carolinas, one in Winston-Salem, one in Concord, and one right here in Greensboro, right across the street from Best Buy for all of your comic book, graphic novel, and action figure needs. All right, partygoers, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the galaxy's okayest pop culture podcast. This is your boy, Brian, a.k.a. El Nino, and today I am joined with...
Jordan, a.k.a. Baby Knife.
Baby Knife. It's official. Baby this Knife is the a.k.a.
I should have pulled up his name, but there is a fan or a listener on Facebook who came up with that, and that definitely is the winner.
I think so that was either I'll shout him. We'll figure it out, but yes, Baby Knife.
And shout him out. Yep, and yeah. Get him some free merch, whoever
that's
you
right.
are.
Free merch thank is you coming your way. I love it. We did a poll not too long ago to get Jordan and AKA on here, something that we've done from day one here on Zero Dark Nerdy, which is crazy because we're getting ready to approach year seven.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Baby Knife is
my first AKA.
The AKA. I like that. I like that. So today... we are going to be talking about Kendrick Lamar's brand new album, GNX. I know it's been a couple weeks and a lot of people, you know, they want to come out with a podcast that day. They want to do a video that day. We actually want to take the time to listen to the album, enjoy the album, see what's going on. Because to me, it takes a little bit, especially when it comes to music. You know, to be honest with you, same thing with movies and TV shows. Sometimes it takes a second watch. I feel that's especially the case with music. Like, yes, you can consume it all in one day, but you know, being old school like I am and having the CD collection like I do, there's a lot of albums out there that if I would have only given them one day, I may have not enjoyed, and vice versa. There's a lot of albums I listened to at first that were like fantastic and weren't that great on the second listen. So before we get into it, I do want to go into a little bit of the backstory on the GNX story. So the car on the cover is a Buick Grand National. So that's what GNX stands for. And the funny thing is, this has been on the Run the Jewels kind of, not just album covers, but on their radar for a while. They actually gave away a Buick Grand National, I believe, last year for a giveaway for one of their charities. But as far as the car itself, it was a collaboration between Buick and McLaren Performance Technologies. McLaren's some of the fastest cars out there on the planet. And at the time, this was the fastest car in the 80s with a 0-60 time in 4.6 seconds. So as I mentioned, this car has also been attached to Run the Jewels the past couple of years. To Kendrick, it's got a lot of sentimental value because when he was born, on the ride home from the hospital, his dad was driving the Buick Regal, which again is the dad version of the Buick Grand National. So one of the things he did when he first got rich, besides buying his mom a home, which is awesome, is get a all black Buick Grand National. But on top of that too, mm-hmm. there's also a little side implication from the ongoing beef between him and Drake. So the mm-hmm. funny thing is, the Buick Grand National, as I mentioned, is also the car that beat the Ferrari in a quarter mile run in by 0.3 seconds. Enzo Ferrari, the founder and creator of Ferrari, was also known as Ill Drake. So this was
gotcha, bitch.
Her little stab. At the Drake and Kendrick beef going on. I love the pettiness. I'm here mm-hmm. for it. I love that it does have sentimental value for him, but the fact that that little nitpick is also there as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, it does it for me at the end of the day. But 12 tracks, 44 minutes. His first album to be released exclusively through PGL.
PG right? Lang.
PG Lang.
Perfect. His Thank own, you so his much. Own, for
his own label.
Company.
And yeah. Interscope. And yeah, his first album since leaving Top Dog Entertainment. Mm-hmm. So obviously by now the world tour has been announced with him and mm-hmm. SZA. Jordan just got tickets.
I shall be there. I will be in the nosebleeds, but I don't care. I have to be there. These are like my two favorite artists. And I manifested this.
You did.
Because they both come from Top Dog Entertainment. There's a lot of great artists coming out of Top Dog. Mm-hmm. So I figured, and you know, they've made music together already. So I was just like, when? Yeah. And I knew SZA hasn't released her album yet this year, but she's going to by the end of the year. And I was just like, now's the time. Like, they need to tour together. And then 2 days later, after I had that internal thought, they announced the tour.
The secret.
So I'm secret. Pumped. Yes.
You put it out there, the universe.
That's some real manifestation.
So, Jordan, going on to you, you're the one that first told me when the album dropped. I know, you know, like I said, we're in week two now, and we wanted to take our time to do this. We didn't want to do it immediately. You've had some time to, you know, really listen to all the songs thoroughly for the last couple of weeks. What are your original thoughts, you know, thoughts going forward? And then we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah. So I'll be honest, my original thoughts, I was like, not a huge fan of the album. I mean, I didn't think it was terrible by any means. Now I definitely don't. And we'll get into that. But I just like the first initial listen through, I was just kind of underwhelmed. And it's just because, like, he's my favorite of all time. And, like, my expectations for him will always be, like, annoyingly high. And, like, I, you know, just naturally, without thinking about it, I have all these, like, notions of what I want it to be. And, like, sure. The sounds I hope he brings back or that I love the most. I don't know why the first listen through, I was just like, oh, man, this will be my least favorite album. So that was my initial run through. And then I knew though, when I had made that initial conclusion that I needed to listen to it again. Cause I just ran through it like on the way home from work one day. And so I was prepared to listen to it again, obviously very much wanted to. And after, you know, two more like listen throughs of the album, yeah, like my perspective totally changed. It's still not like my number one favorite Kendrick album by any means, but it is, I mean, like it definitely gained my like admiration for sure. It is unique and like he manages to bring something unique to every album he puts out. And so, you know, it's got, you know, some amazing samples and a lot of old school feel to it. I was able to appreciate after my first listen more was like recognizing like where these sounds and like where this like style's coming from. So yeah, I mean, now I love it. It's a great album. There's still a couple, like maybe two or three songs I'm not like crazy about at all.
Sure.
But overall it's a great album. So
yeah, I gotta say when you first gave me your review, you know, I went in and I mean, I try to, as I'm getting older, trying to go in level expectations, right? As much as we may love our favorite artists, not every album they're going to do is going to be a banger. Plain and simple. You know, I learned this with Wu-Tang, Tribe Called Quest, you know, but then they have albums to where it's like this one, it's like, oh, we back, mm-hmm. you know, and to me, I was not crazy about the Hot Steppers album.
Yeah.
By any means. I don't think a lot of people were, to be quite honest with you. At the end of the day, this one to me definitely brought back some of those Mad City vibes, but mm-hmm. with more of an old school feel. You definitely feel that in like Squabble Up. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. I know we're getting ready to get to one sample here in a second. But it's one of those to where I feel at least the first half of the album is gold. It's really good. The second half is not bad. And this may sound terrible. I actually am not a fan of, and to me, normally when you name a track after your album that's like supposed to be one of your most fire mm-hmm. tracks, plain right. and simple. And I hate to say it, like, I think GNX is one of my least favorite tracks on the album. And yeah. I mentioned this to you when we were texting each other, listening to the album and just kind of talking about it. I don't think it's so much like his fault. I think that it's just one of those things to where he's so above a lot of these other artists that he's trying to bring on that mm-hmm. they just can't even compare. But GNX, to me, the title track is much to be desired. I don't think the beat is great. I actually think it's one of the worst songs on the album. I hate to say it. I love you, Kendrick. Don't judge us on this.
Yeah, we both.
Just trying to be real. Like, I would have thought, you know, Whacked Out Murals, you know, would be a great, which I understand why he did, you know, the cover, the album title, everything else. But the song itself, GNX, is far to be desired, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's one of my, like, we can just go ahead and, like, you know, get the couple of ones that maybe not fell short, but just weren't, like, of my taste as far as the album goes. That was definitely one of them. Man at the Garden, I'm not a huge fan of that one.
Me too.
I wanted to like it. I appreciate it because he does deserve it all, as he says.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that,
so much
that ego trip, you know, song, or like a, but you know, very self analytical and stuff. So I appreciate like the content of the song, but it's just not like, I don't really like that one. The only other one I'm not a huge fan of is Dodger Blue. I just thought for that one.
So here's with Dodger Blue, which I gave it a chance because as we mentioned, this does have some old school, like, skating rink feels to the 80s and 90s. Dodger Blue does give me a computer love type of vibe. If you don't know what computer love is, check that song out.
Old
school. But anyways, it gave me that kind of feel. But yes, it's another one of those tracks that has another artist, which, again, I understand it. You want to bring your people up and you want to do what you can. But I feel like he's just at that level to where it's like, if you're not putting on some other heavyweights, then it's hard for other people to keep up, which I understand this is how they're going to try to make their way, you know, and I understand, you know, the hustle of trying to be an artist and get on a track. And, you know, to me, mm-hmm. I felt like Kendrick Lamar did that in his coming out party was with ASAP Rocky, fucking Problems with him, now Drake, and 2 Chainz. But of course, ASAP Rocky 2 Chainz, too, where, you know, he was like, hey, I am here and I'm here to stay. Like, his verse is more memorable than anybody else's on there.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
I'm Kendrick Lamar, aka Benz is to me just a car. That mean your friends is need be up to posse. My standards are pampered by threesomes tomorrow.
And he was kicking in the door. I just feel like the artists on those songs in particular that we just talked about, Dodger Blue, and of course on GNX, just didn't give that vibe.
Yeah. I agree. I appreciate, because honestly, I've never heard of any of these artists. I don't think many people have. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the research on his features, but I'm assuming that they're maybe from Compton, like his neighborhood, or like, you know, something like that is the vibe I'm getting, just because I've like, this is the first time I'm hearing them, and he's very much the kind of person all about bringing his community up, which I appreciate.
100%.
And even if they're not from Compton, like, they are definitely, like, you know, smaller artists at the moment that are just now are new artists. So I think that's cool. Like, that's a really cool thing that he's done.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, I don't know.
It's just hard to be up there with one of the kings.
You know,
plain and simple. And I appreciate him giving him a shot, you know, but for me, I'm just like, and on top of that too, as I mentioned, I think the beats for both of those songs could have left a little bit more to be desired.
Sure. Yeah.
In my opinion. So, you know, before we get to the production on this album and just producers in general, you know, where does this compare for you in terms of, because you're definitely a bigger fan than I am. Not saying that I'm not, but I'm also 44. I'm an old school hip hop fan. Kendrick is one of my newer favorite artists, but you've been following them for a long time now. So I want to, you know, go to you. Like, where does this rank in your top 3 to 5 Kendrick albums?
So I was extra, and I ranked all like 7.
Okay, I like it.
And it's kind of stupid though, because like I don't dislike any of them.
Yeah,
like there's just some that are less great than sure. other, and my obviously yeah. subject, like in my opinion. Yeah. But so at my last or my number 7 is Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I still like a lot of songs in that album. We went to see it in concert. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would not take it back for anything. It was great. And there's just the thing is that there wasn't a, like none of the songs in that album turned out to be any of my like favorites of his, you know, his discography. None of them ended up on that, you know, probably top 10 favorite songs or anything like that. But and then I had Section 80 at 6. It's a really great album still. And then GNX is 5 for me. But there's like I think Mr. Morale is like the only one I'm like, I don't love this album.
Yeah.
And all the rest I do love.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of putting them in order and
how much you love them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it goes, then Section 80, GNX, and then To Pimp a Butterfly is number 4 for me. Mm. It just gets, I mean, this is where it just gets really good. And like, it's just a hair dividing all of them.
Yeah. And one of the most iconic covers of all time too.
Oh, absolutely. Probably my favorite cover. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Damn is number 3. Damn is the album that like made me the Kendrick Lamar fan that I am today. Like, I went down like, you know, a rabbit hole into the fan I am today.
Yeah.
Damn is what put me into that. I wrote papers about it in school as an English major, and it won the Pulitzer Prize at the time. So it was just like, that wasn't like what got me into it, but it was just, it was very inspiring to me. And I've always loved hip hop. And I've loved Kendrick, but I didn't know how much until that album.
Yeah.
So that album's just great. And honestly, I've heard it so many times, like to the point I'm sick of it, because I just know that album inside and out, and I haven't listened to it in a really long time because I need like a big break from it, but it's awesome. And then number 2 is Untitled Unmastered for me. There's just like, that album is super creative. Like the sound, like, it's just, I don't know what, there's no words for it. You just have to go listen to it. There's no song names, or it's just Untitled 1 through 8, I think, or 11 or, but there's some iconic sounds and iconic lines. Like one of my favorite songs, I think, is Untitled 7. And he just does these things with like his tone and stuff that are just so funny. Like,
yeah.
One of my favorite lines is that. Shut your fucking mouth and get some cash, you bitch. You feeling in my bag, you bitch. I love that. He just like plays with that album, and I love it so much that it's number 2. And then Good Kid, Mad City is unshockingly and surprisingly number 1. Probably just like most other people in the world, but sure. There's no misses on that album. There's no mids on that album. It's all like banger, 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 banger. Like, so, you know, Good Kid, Mad City is definitely number 1 for me. And so GNX is number 5, that being said.
Okay.
Still an album I've come to love a lot, for sure.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, I think it's definitely up there for me. As I mentioned, you're a much bigger fan than I am. And this is nothing against Kendrick Lamar. I'm more of an old school hip hop fan, but I do love that he's from Compton and he is representing the future of hip hop. Like very, very few artists are nowadays. You know, to me, it's still him, J. Cole. As much as the beef that they're in, you know, I still appreciate some Drake stuff. There's other boys out there, especially from the Kendrick Lamar outfit, Schoolboy Q, you know, of course, Run the Jewels, which is a good mix of just old school meets new school, but they really are more old school than anything. So at the end of the day, like, to me, hip hop's not dead.
I think Top Dog's definitely responsible for a lot of those artists. Yeah. I mean, you know, he represents J-Rock to Schoolboy Q.
Yep.
Kendrick, you know, since the beginning until recently.
Yeah. Especially with J-Rock Win and all that stuff. And then you got the whole ASAP crew. Like there's still a ASAP lot of Mob bangers is good. Out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. ASAP Mob is great. It's not just these bullshit, you know, mumble rappers out there like Lil Pump and all these other idiots, you know, that are just doing whatever the hell that they're doing. Yeah. Oh gosh. Six nine. The biggest snitch since the McDonald's out there.
Zero Dark Thirty hates 6ix9ine. Don't care.
That's right. That's why we don't blame him, even though his last name is Hernandez. He is not related to any of us. I can promise you that. If he was, we still wouldn't claim him.
He's only good for his Nicki features.
No, he's not even good for that, man. Yeah.
You worth the ASAP, keep me rocky. I'm from New York, so I'm cocky. Say he fucking with my posse.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother episode for a whole nother day. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, totally respect Kendrick. I think he's definitely one of the best lyricists out there. This album, to me, I actually really, really enjoy from the get-go. So I texted, you know, my daughter Jordan right here after the first listen. I was like, you might want to listen to this again. Like, to me, it's definitely not that bad. And, you know, it starts out with Whacked Out Murals, which is a play on his murals getting defaced. But then it goes to Squabble Up, which to me is just a great, like, that starts kind of the skating rink 80s vibe. It's got the When I Hear Music by Debbie Deb sample in there, which is a skating rink, just 80s classic. And it's definitely, it can be paired with, you know, they Not Like Us on top of that too.
You know,
to keep that going. Luther with SZA, just like you said, phenomenal track. Reincarnated, I think is good. I already lost a sample here, but TV Off with Lefty Gunplay and, you know, Mustard on the Beat, home.
I mean, I would, if
I'm going to do a top three, to be honest with you, I would actually put this in my top three. I will put this up there as number three, To Pimp a Butterfly is number two, and then Good Kid, Mad City, number one, which is undeniable.
Makes sense.
I mean, I still am one of those, like, anytime I hear is Martin Had a Dream, I'm just like, I'm ready to go. Like, that album has you just ready to go do stuff. And you're right. I mean, to me, he is a very cool combination of like Redman meets Tupac meets like Too Short in a way, to where he has all these different flows and it's never the same rhythm, never the same vibe. As much as people say, you know, Tupac's in their top five, Tupac's great as a lyricist. I will give him that. As a rapper, he is not in my top five because I like to give my top five to people that can actually flip the script a little bit and they don't sound the same on every single album and every single track. You don't hear that from Kendrick Lamar, especially compared to newer rappers nowadays. He can flip it up and he can go fast. He can go slow. He can go sexy. He can go funny. He can go with the double Western entendres.
You know the Western I mean? Like, draw thing. That's his like new thing since Mr. Morale. That song with Baby Keem. Range Brothers. He's doing that in certain songs. He'll do that. Like he's got tobacco. I just imagine he's got tobacco stuffed in his.
Like, I'm just talking like this for a little bit. Yeah. I love it. I just love the way he switches it up. You know, he's on the one of the latest Busta Rhymes albums, not Blockbuster, but the one before that on a track with Busta Rhymes. It's got this really great sample from the Jackson 5 on it and just tears it up. But I mean, different flows for different days. And like I said, he's got that comedy aspect too, but it's more like a George Carlin feel where it's not in your face. Like you got to find a little bit of those hidden meanings. So that's why I like to incorporate him in that like Redman, Too Short, you know, conversation as well as Tupac and Biggie.
He's just like, clever. Like just he's
super
just clever.
Super witty. He's
incredibly smart, wise, clever. Yeah. I don't know. Like I'm biased, obviously, but like nobody is doing it like him.
No,
they're not.
No,
they're
not. I would say if anyone's close, I would probably say another one of your favorite artists out there would probably be Tyler the Creator.
That's the one.
To definitely flip.
He's like pushing boundaries. He's innovative.
It's not the same.
Right.
You know, he used on the last album, he used that Gravediggers track, which I love so much. Album right over here in the corner. And then on this album with Sticky, you know, he's got that marching band beat on there. And he's always been one that he just doesn't give a damn. He's going to push those boundaries. So I would say between, you know, right now, those two, and probably two of the most newest innovative artists out there, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure.
You know, innovative, and besides that, let's not forget Childish Gambino. You know, always on the radar, always mixing it up. I wish he'd actually come out with more stuff. I know he's hanging up the Childish Gambino moniker, but I think he's still going to be doing music, and he, as he should, because I like the fact he doesn't label himself as a hip hop artist. Like, to him, like, he is an artist in general, whether rock, music, R&B, hip hop. Mm. Of course, it's more hip hop than anything else. But at the end of the day, you know, thank God for these guys keeping it moving out there. And of course, I love to see Chance the Rapper come out with some new stuff. Hopefully he gets off the voice.
Don't agree. I cannot stand Chance the Rapper. I mean, there's a lot of new school stuff that I hate too. And I mean, at the same time, I just love hip hop as a genre. Like, I love the like ratchet hood rap. I love that too. Yeah. I don't care. I like
Glorilla. Glorilla.
But yeah, and like Sexy Red. There's certain songs. It's just fun. Like, you just have to. You just have to like have fun, or I guess like you know.
Where you stop with Chance the Rapper, I stop with Sexy Red. Glorilla, though, I can mess with, and you know our girl Rico Nasty.
Rico, and then
Rico.
Yeah, Rico is probably one of the most innovative like female rappers for sure right now. Yeah. And then Dochi is, that's, I'm telling you, that's the next big thing in hip hop.
All right. Hey,
I'm and Kendrick has backed it, so that's how you know.
Okay, too. I like it.
She's like got it. That old school, don't give a, like, she doesn't care. She can also sing really well.
Yeah.
So she's just like, you can tell the creativity is there. So that's going to be a whole other thing.
This second half definitely has more of the clips that we should use for this episode, for sure. If anything, you know, maybe one or two on the other side, but excellent. So, you know, before we wrap up, one of the things that Jordan and I have been talking about, you know, I'm 44, not to date myself, but I'm dating myself 44, coming up in the age of hip hop, especially the golden age, 90s, 2000s. And to me, I actually think it's fun nowadays that producers actually have what is it that we called it? Like labels?
Tags.
Tags, like producer tags. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, coming up, you would just know, like, oh man, that's a premiere beat. Oh no, that's Pete Rock. Oh no, that's Large Professor. You know, like, they wouldn't have that. The only time you would ever actually hear it's not even a producer tag, it was the DJ tags on mixtapes that used to come out. And I'm talking old school, like Funkmaster Flex, DJ Clue, Green Lantern, Dirty Harry. And they were doing that so that other DJs weren't trying to rip off their remixes and their mixes and their freestyles to put them on their own mixtapes. And, you know, you never really heard it from producers for the longest time. I think my first kind of memory of hearing it from a producer is probably Just Blaze. And this is coming out with, you know, Pump It Up, Joe Budden. Which Joe Budden's on some stuff nowadays, in case you haven't seen. But he was one of the first ones to do it, as well as Swiss Beats. But, you know, on top of that, we also had, before that, Timberland, Dr. Dre. So many pioneers. I mean, Dan Automator is still one of my favorite producers of all time. Rick Rubin. And they never had these plugs, these tags to go on before their albums. It was just one of those things to where either you knew it or you didn't, or you had to actually read through the CDs or the vinyl to see who produced what, or just do that homework. Even during the internet, we were still doing that. And I do think it is kind of a cool age right now to have these tags out there. You know, Pharrell was kind of doing it in the beginning with the Neptunes, whether if it was just him or the Neptunes on top of that. And as far as like in the past decade or so, some of my favorites, I got to say, probably right up there is like my number one. I just like Mike Will Made It. And I just love it. And he's done Bands of Make Her Dance, which I love. Just like you said, some of this hood rat shit, it just like gets you going.
It's for the club.
It's fantastic. Right. I bartended in clubs for a long time. I DJed in clubs for a long time. So I'm partial to this. So Bands of Make Her Dance. Oh, I still clap. So all the time. No Lie, 2 Chainz and Drake. Love that track. Mercy. He did Pour It Up. Oh, Tupac back. Oh, Tupac. Lord. Rick Ross and Meek Mill. If you don't drink coffee in the morning and you want a wake up call, put your alarm on Tupac back and tell me that don't wake you up. And one of my biggest surprises, before I get to that, I also got to say Humble. He did Humble. Mike Will Made It.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
As well as DNA. But one of my biggest surprises, and I told you, this is one of my guilty pleasure artists and one of my guilty pleasure songs. He did the beat for We Can't Stop for Miley Cyrus.
Hey, the Bangers album. Like, you guys need to grow up and just like enjoy the album. It's really fun. I don't care.
It is. Good music is good music.
All
right.
It's fun. It's just fun.
And fun music is fun music. If it makes you feel good, we are in an age now where guilty pleasures is quite all right. There is a whole documentary on Yacht Rock, and I've been bumping nothing but Yacht Rock. So just to keep it going there, Metro Boomin' on the, I just love Bad and Bougie. Come on now. Bounce Back with Big Sean. I think probably his biggest track, Jumpman with Drake and Future.
Mm-hmm.
He did Congratulations, Post Malone and Quavo. And then Heartless with The Weeknd. And then just to kind of wrap it up as far as just other ones, I don't want to go down their entire catalog and all that stuff. Keith, fuck these Ricans up.
Yeah.
So I like to say that. And then that's all I'm going to say. And then I like Wheezy out of here. Of course, one of the ones that really started doing it that I think is where we are at today is DJ Khaled. We the best.
And we another the best one. Music.
You know, it's another one of those things like you
it's
hear.
It's just
it
a meme just at like, this point.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't realize producers, depending on the contract, it's not one of those things to where like, say you're an actor on a TV show like Friends, and every time Friends gets replayed, you get a residual for that. Mm-hmm. Producers get paid a fee, and then that's it. So they have to keep producing to continue to make money. They don't make more money and royalties off of radio play and everything else. Producers get paid for a track, and then 9 times out of 10, that's it. Unless they are an executive producer or something down the line. So to me, I think it's incredibly smart for them to put their tag out there, because if you're an artist and you've seen that I've repeated a lot of the same artists over and over again, a lot of these guys are in rotation out there. And last but not least, and I'm glad Jordan corrected me on this, because I used to think it was Spitty on the beat or whatever it is. And it was DJ Mustard on the beat. Oh, so, of course he did Not Like Us. And what I love about DJ Mustard is that he wanted to work with Kendrick for years and would send him about 5 beats a day for 3 months until Kendrick finally gave him a call back. So, hey, that's persistence can be annoying, but at the end of the day, that hustle, that drive, people like Kendrick Lamar, who came from nothing to became something, appreciate that. And, his first credit was actually Rack City with Tyga, which is a dope beat. Rack City. And then he went on to do other bangers like I'm Different by 2 Chainz. I love 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz is like one of my favorite guilty pleasure rappers of all time. And then he also did I Don't Fuck With You with Big Sean. So, you see these artists with all these producers I just named over and over again. Like, these guys are producing bangers upon bangers. And I will say this. I would have loved to have seen this many producers in the 90s with some of the artists that were as talented as rapping and rhyming as they were. Cause I do love a lot of the beats nowadays. I'm not saying that the lyrics match the beats, but the beats do go hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really have much to, I mean, you just kind of covered like all the tracks. Sorry. But no, that's fine. I mean, I just like, and I can't even like think off the top of my head what songs these go to, but I like Murder on the Beat, So It's Not Nice. That's just like a hard one to me. I like that one. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Listen to This Drunk Bitch. I like that one too. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. I do love that. JK, fuck these Reekins up. I'm like, yeah. Oh shit. Like we're about to die right now. Like it almost sets you up. Like I remember, what is it? This Nitty Beat. And like I said, it's going down. And then what's the Bobby Smurder one? Oh no. Oh, Jungle Beats. Holla at me.
Oh
and
yeah.
And then that beat drops immediately after it says that.
Jungle Beats. Holla at me.
And you being some hot nigga.
Oh my goodness. And that's the one thing I always remember. Jungle Beats holler at me and then ching, ching.
I forgot about Bobby Shmurda. Yeah. Wonder how he's doing.
A lot of people have. It's been about 10 years now almost.
Yeah. So what were your, like, just quickly, like what were your top three songs off GNX?
Excellent. Excellent. Great question. So I got to say, I love the intro. Whacked Out Murals is one of those things to where it's a great build up for the album itself. You know, it's just one of those things to where you could tell, I don't want to say he's angry. You know, you could just tell he's not messing around no more.
And
he don't care. Like he's going to do what he wants to do. And especially with his own label, as he should, and more artists are doing nowadays. And I do love the slow build, and especially just the change up in the lyrics, like we've been talking about. It's never the same song with Kendrick Lamar, and it's so underappreciated, and it should have more appreciation because I love artists like that, where I'm not going to listen to it and be like, oh man, this is the same drawn-out lyrics for whatever it may be. You know, he just like switch it up. So, you know, that one to me is definitely one of my favorites. TV Off definitely gives the, They Not Like Us. I mean, of course, the same producer. Mustard!
Stupid. Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one's just a fun track. I do love Squabble Up. Like I said, I love that song by Debbie Deb. I think When I Feel Music is one of the most underrated 80s tracks because it's not so much hip hop. It has a hip hop like Planet Rock, African Bambaataa type of feel to it. But it's that skating rink track. And that's what, you know, the vibe that you get. And then I would probably say number three is Luther with SZA. You know, it's just a solid track all around. I love their combination, the way that they play off of each other. Mm-hmm. It's just a really, really solid track.
I think, I mean, mine are pretty much the same. Whacked Out Murals is a really good one. To me, a great intro of the album, and then reading up on it too, like about, you know, how it was defaced and like, you know, by not just one gang, I think a couple gangs. And it was painted on the back of this Hispanic restaurant in Compton. And the song, like, if you like look at the lyrics and stuff or listen to it, like, yeah, it sounds like he's like fed up and like angry, but like by the end, it's kind of bringing in like that, where he brought like all the gangs on stage. So like, it doesn't matter to him. Like he already did what America thought was impossible, or that like that these communities thought would never happen either. Like he did that. Like it doesn't matter if one or two, like, you know, gangs supposedly are not wanting to see his face in Compton or whatever, because like he's already united people so much more than like a lot of, not even rap, but like musicians can say. Like he's done things that are like, yeah, nobody would have ever thought. So it's kind of just been, I think that song is good because he's just like haters are going to hate pretty much.
Oh, always.
Like it's all, always. It's never going to go away, but like he doesn't have anything to prove any, like he's doing like what he feels like his mission is to do. And so there's like nothing for him to have to prove. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a really good intro to the album. Squabble Up. Yeah. It's a banger. There's nothing else to say. I love that. I love when he does anything weird with his, like, I don't know, like the musical term
to just like talking. And then he'll talk. It's almost like he's talking down to the audience, but he's not.
It is. I love that line. I feel good. Get the fuck out of my face. Yep. Like, it's so funny.
Get the fuck out of my face.
It's so good.
Look good, but she don't got no time.
It's the same thing I was talking about with the Untitled 7. It's just like, where does he come up with like these ideas that are just hilarious? Like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Number three, so I don't know. I think I'll give it to Luther because of SZA. I'm such a big SZA fan.
Yeah.
And she just, I mean, anytime people who love hip hop and R&B, like when you hear her features come on, it's just like, you just melt to the floor. Cause you're like, oh my God, like angels from heaven. That's just a great song. And I mean, I love the dynamic too. Like you were saying, then going like back and forth and, but I'd say my runner-up is TV Off for sure. Not TV Off. Honestly, that'll probably be five. Hey Now is probably my runner-up.
Hey Now's good. Hey Now's good.
That's again,
for what are we looking at here? 12 tracks. You know, we got six or seven bangers, which honestly, we're 50-50 on here. And I will take that all day, every day. If we were back in the days of buying CDs or cassettes or albums, you could only hope that, you know, half the album is good.
Yeah.
So,
and that's probably, Hey Now's probably the one feature that I do like.
Yeah.
I actually do like a lot. Doty 6, again, never heard of him. But I kind of like that one. He comes in like hot as what, or I don't know, just like iconic kind of the, talking about the Joker and Harley Quinn in the cut with the blower. Like, I like that. So, I like Doty 6 on that, and I like, he's definitely taking shots at Drake in that song, so I love that, talking about him feeling like Magneto or whatever, being an X-Men fan. I really like that comparison. Like, he thinks he's elevating his community, helping his community, but he's actually killing him. Like,
yeah,
I love that. It's just creative. It's a good song. So
love it. This is a great episode. I'm glad we did it. Sorry it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
Get the fuck out of my face. Yes.
I can barely do it. It's hard to do.
He just does it so well. Get the fuck out my face. That should be
Forrest Gump when I do the intro
going into the episode.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out my face.
We just sound like Forrest Gump. I don't know.
Jedi.